We are still in the Christmas season. You've noted from the readings and from the white and the candles and so on. And we will observe this season until January the 6th, when we celebrate Epiphany, the showing of Christ to the nations, the manifestation. And it just so happens that 8 days after Christmas is the day every year where on the Christian calendar we note the name of Jesus, because it's that eighth day, that day of circumcision, that day of naming. It just so happens this year it's on a Sunday. Often we don't hear these scriptures. If your name was Superman, would you expect to get picked on? Well, apparently the Swedish tax authorities thought so. And they declined a request by Sarah Lyston to name her newborn son after the superhero. The officials were following legislation that gives them veto power over names. Imagine that, if you're, you know, they can say who can be named whatever. They nixed Stallman, which is Superman, citing its potential to attract ridicule later in life. Apparently, they've never been to kindergarten. It's, you know, you don't have to wait that long. The boy's parents wanted this name because he was born with one arm pointing skyward, like Superman flies. Lyston planned to reapply for the name, this time with the name The Superman. Maybe that'll trick him. Well, one thing is sure, that if the little boy is allowed to be named Superman, he will have a name he can never live up to. Names are important. And you know this, especially if you've had to live with an unusual name, or maybe a name that's brought you unwanted attention. Maybe you go by a nickname all the time because you're not that crazy about your given name. Cultural observer and linguist Marshall McLuhan once noted that the naming of a person is a numbing blow from which we never recover. And that can be, you know, that's positive or negative, how you look at it. Names are part of destiny. Names are important, so name carefully. Joseph and Mary followed a tradition that had been observed for centuries. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised to honor God's covenant with Israel, and he was named. He was given a name. And that name was Jesus. That's the name Gabriel had told them. Now, this wasn't an unknown name. It wasn't like, oh, where did that come from? It's the name Yeshua, Joshua. It's a name that means, one way of translating is that God saves. God saves. In fact, it was a pretty common name. There were probably other Jesuses who were this age, you know, running around. Today, we don't name people Jesus. It's fairly common in Hispanic culture. But we do name people for the Greek form of the Messianic title, numerous versions of Christ. Naming is not an accident. And it has a part to play in both determining and revealing character and in the destiny of that person and of a people. Shakespeare asked, "What's in a name?" And of course, he was basically trying to say it's not that big a deal. A rose is a rose, whatever. But I think we need to respond, there's a lot in a name. There's a lot in a name. So today before us, it's a celebration of the holy name of Jesus, but also of our name in him. When God called Moses to lead his people to freedom, Moses asked him a question at the burning bush. Do you remember what one of the questions was? What's your name? Who are you? He didn't say God. God is not God's name, see? It's not. What did God reply? I am that I am, or I will be that I will be. See, God named himself to Moses in a way that revealed his character as the source of all life and all time. In every moment that has ever existed, exists now, or ever will exist, I am there. In other words, God by his name is not fixed in any moment or any place, but is. That's a powerful name and a powerful truth. And Moses needed to know that God was not confined to a burning bush or the backside of the desert. And as the relationship goes on and we read in the Old Testament scriptures of the relationship between God and his people, further names of God are revealed and are called out and are lived into, especially the sacred name that could usually not even be pronounced or written. And then the many varieties of that name that declared God's character, Lord as provider, Lord as banner, Lord as present. See, people approached God on the basis of his name because that name was an entry point to who he is. In Proverbs, we read that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of God has importance. So it is that when the one sent as Messiah is named, it cannot be just any name that strikes Mary and Joseph in the moment. As Gabriel declared to Joseph in a dream that we read in Matthew, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That name, Yeshua, Jesus, God saves. But you know, this is not the only name given to the Messiah. There are actually many names, and they're mentioned in the birth narratives in the New Testament. Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's called Great. He's called Son of the Most High. The names from Isaiah 9, the prophecy of the child that will be born. Do you know those names there? Wonderful Counselor. What's another one? Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. See, Jesus is a very special name, but it's not exclusive. It's not magical. It's not the arrangement of the letters. It's not a talisman to be chanted over and over again. The name of Jesus and its meaning is a door to who he is, his identity, to his character, to his central place in God's story. And that name leads us to understand the lordship of the Christ, that he is God. I think this is some of the important meaning of Philippians 2 that we heard this morning. This hymn of emptying, as it's called often. The name that all creation will bow to is the name Lord. It's the lordship that we bow to. The name Jesus is made to be above every name because Jesus himself, the one who bears the name, is made Lord of all for God's glory and purpose. We call in his name, we pray in his name, we gather in his name, we go out to love and serve in his name, not because of the name itself, but because of whose name it is. Let me offer you an example from everyday life, from the business world. You know, when a company is sold and it changes hands behind the scenes, if it's been a successful company at some point, or the name has a lot of cachet, the new owners want to keep the name. I mean, often that's part of even the price, how it's figured, is what's the value of the name. So even if things have changed significantly, leadership's different, marketing's different, maybe even the product's different, they will keep the name. Sometimes they'll call it the new such and such, right? But it only works if the product lives up to the name. People only put up with it so long if there is truth in advertising. That's probably why it's not a good idea to name your son Superman. Clark Kent might be better. The name of Jesus is worn by one who has earned the many titles and honors that accompany a name that means God saves. And it's why Mary and Joseph declare his name, a specific name, to the priest when he is 8 days old. So that's a story, a kind of a narrative, if you will, of this name, Jesus, and its connection to the name of God. But you know, this isn't all of the story, as the naming of Jesus also affects our name, who we are, our true name. We catch it in this blessing of Aaron that was read, this just the short passage this morning. And at the end of the blessing, it says, so they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. God's name, his character, and blessing and purpose. Jesus' name, his character, blessing, and redemption is put on us, on you and me. As we're made new, as we're made new creations, the old being cast off, placed into a new reality that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We receive a new identity and we receive a new name. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, it says that those who endure in the Lord receive a white stone. And on that stone is engraved a name that only they know, a name that's given to them by God. I was reading about a Christian leader in the Southwest who is also Navajo. His name is Deswood Tome. And in Navajo tradition, when a child is born, they either a grandfather or some elder whispers a name into their ear that is their true name. That's their prayer name, and it's secret, and they don't share it, they don't talk about it. In fact, if you try to find information on secret names, there's very little. It's something that's not discussed. But when he was in junior high school, Deswood came to Christ. And he writes about this name that he was given, this prayer name that now he sees as this name on the white stone given to him by the Lord, the character of God. You know, there are a number of societies where girl children are not desired, either because of the cost of dowries and so on, or just boy children are more desirable, and many girls in these cultures are aborted, or they are left to die, or they are neglected. And those that are not are still sometimes given terrible, demeaning, and debasing names. Names that in their languages, and this we see this in parts of India and China and other places, a name too many, paying the penalty, a name that means deathly. I mean, what if you were the youngest child in your family and your name was one too many? And you lived under that name, and you grew up under that name. Well, if these children come to Christian faith, there is often a renaming ceremony for them that is part of baptism, where that name of shame is cast off and the name of life is taken up, a name that will set a destiny of hope and of a new life and direction for that child. One such name I saw, which comes from China, translates, "I don't reject my gift from God." Some of us live under names that are determining our direction, robbing us of the joy that God has for us as we follow him. These are names that others may have given to us, or names that we took out of seasons of despair, or even pride, or loss, but they are not our true name. Names like worthless, loser, wounded, addict, shamed, lonely. In some places, in some ways for us, they're places of refuge because we know them, they're predictable, and they seem to be safe, but they are not. And Jesus coming, bearing that name that is truly his, God saves, whispers into our ear the new name that the Lord is giving to us, or is giving to you. It's not shouted, you have to listen, but it is for you, it's for his people, and it's a true name. God gives a new identity, a new name when he calls us, a name that identifies our character in him, our identity in him. I think that's very important as we set out on the new year, that we know what name we're traveling under. Whose name is it? The name of the Lord God, but what is our name? Who are we in relationship to him? Are we beloved? Are we beloved child, son, daughter, brother, sister? Peace, joy. I mean, all of these names, they're so life-giving. In the article Leading by Naming, Mark Labberton speaks of the power that names carry. And this is a quote from this. He says, "Every day our naming of the people around us gives life and it takes it away. I can still feel the impact of a highly musical friend who one day called me musical. No one had ever called me that. I don't really even play an instrument. I'm not a soloist. Yet what made this comment so remarkable was that I instantly felt known. Why? Because I was being named in the way that always matters most, from the inside out. The musicality of my life, fundamental and invisible as it is, has to do with my soul, not with instruments. It's about my way of being in the world, not about notes being played. And the sheer unexpected grace of being named musical stunned me." Labberton goes on to say that the untouchables, the Dalits in India, are required by Hindu law to be given one name, and it must be derogatory, ugly, dung, stupid. Imagine the transformation when they discover that in Jesus, God came as a Dalit, and that he has the power to rename them chosen, holy, beloved. We begin the new year, 2012, under the banner of the holy name of Jesus, with the blessing and the grace and the provision of all that is carried in that identity. We enter the unknown days ahead. It's not a bad way to start. It's pretty good. Pretty good. And we receive our own name and leave behind the things that are false. Maybe the name we've been traveling under that we just need to say, "Lord, take it. Let me hear what you would say." Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We run to it and are safe.